And welcome to The Midday with Vicki and Norman et alia.
And the others are Trevor Stevenson and Bruce Gladstone. Thanks for taking a moment. You'll be performing with Madison Bach Musicians, mm-hmm. one of the great monuments, one of the great personal testaments
performing
in large
again.
Form.
Right, second this coming two performances
weekend.
Coming up.
We're talking about the Bach B minor Mass. And first of all, you might just help us understand what a Mass is.
Yeah, right. The setting of the Latin ordinary, which would be, you know, the text that was always there in the service, as opposed to what they called the proper, which was the text and music specific to a certain Sunday of the year. So this was the boilerplate language of the Mass. And, you know, many Lutheran composers like Bach did make settings of parts of Masses, often these first two sections that Bach does, the Kyrie and the Gloria. But Bach goes all the way here and writes a two-hour piece with the entire ordinary of the Mass. And, of course, he submits it to a Catholic court in Dresden. So that it's something that they would be interested in. They were very musically powerful. They had the best players there. And in 1733, he hands them this gorgeous manuscript with all the parts written out in perfect hands by all of his family and copyists, you know, and says in his humble way, he says, if you get anything out of my scribblings here, could you see to it that you recommend me for a higher standing, higher position in Leipzig where they don't treat me so well? And and 5 years later, 4 years later, the letter comes through. You know, but then Bach spends the next 15 years finishing the Mass, writing the next three sections of the Credo and the Sanctus and the Dona Nobis Pacem all at the end. So it's an amazing process, and we don't know if it was ever even performed.
Like the Brandenburg Concertos, you know, just right. sat there on the shelf, perhaps. But I guess that composing history, Trevor, has to do with why we have two different styles in this work.
Right. I mean, and of course, Bach was always integrating everything. I mean, he was from the stile antico, the grandeur of counterpoint of the Renaissance style, a kind of a Palestrina type of counterpoint that we'll hear in the Credo, to the most intimate kind of gallant chamber music in like the Christe Eleison duet, pieces like that. And so there's all these things going on where he's using styles from hundreds of years of diversity in music. And I think what's amazing is that it all pulls together. I mean, that it really, to me, it is a unified piece.
Well, it might help from a distance of 250 years.
Right.
Bach, yeah.
Right. Maybe it sounded more of a mishmash at the time. I don't know. Yeah, what do you think, Bruce?
We think of Bach as writing the fugue. I mean, this is the style that we think, and even in the choruses. But really, the main formal element is the ritornello. So these are all contratante pieces and concerted pieces, to which then the fugue is added. But it's all about coming back to the ritornello and the instrumental ritornello, and we find this in the arias as well. So even when he's writing the strictly stile antico pieces, like in the second Kyrie, there's always something to come back to. So we're sort of mixing all of these things, and I think probably those are the pieces, the old style pieces, that people would be going, oh yeah, what an old fuddy-duddy he is. But right. then he turns around and writes, a stunning aria that sounds just like the current opera of the time. And so, there's something for everyone, exactly. really.
And the ritornello is that we're, the instrumental
right.
answer
like
to
a
the
refrain.
Choral,
right,
refrain
yeah.
that, and that's the that glue for
back,
the whole
right.
Mass. That's interesting. Yeah, I think that's right, yeah.
So will we hear which style in the Credo that we're about to hear?
Mostly the antico style, the old Renaissance polyphony with the walking bass and then the long note cantus firmus type of melodies soaring over that, all imitating each other. I always think
hear at the very beginning with the Credo in Unum Deum, that
right.
first thing that you hear would be the sort of the chant melody, and then everything else is added around that.
All in an action-packed 2 minutes.
Right.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I always think this is the ultimate Baroque conception of the universe. It wheels within wheels. Little cogs, the big cogs, all spin, the clockwork universe, that
working smoothly.
Exactly. Exactly.
With luck, right?
So I guess we should give it a run.
The Credo from the Mass in B minor by Bach.
That was the Credo from the Mass in B minor by Johann Sebastian Bach, as performed last Friday night by the Madison Bach musicians and the UW Madrigal singers. Bruce Gladstone is the conductor of those singers. Trevor, the conductor of the instrumental and at the harpsichord yourself.
Right. Tinkling away in the background there.
I'm wondering about the singers, Bruce. You were talking about your group, which is an a cappella group mostly, and locking in on the melody of, especially the next piece we're going to hear, the Kyrie.
Right, the second Kyrie, right. I guess it's more, if we're used to doing Renaissance, although we do everything, it's more like the Renaissance music that we do, in that the strings in this case are just playing colla parte with the singers, and they don't have their own music. So in a way, it was easier for them to lock. The melody is remarkably tortured sounding, mm-hmm. but and I think that makes it easier to lock in, because once you've got that, mm-hmm. it's hard to veer from that, because it's very distinctive in its sound. And that's, in a way, easier than some of the other movements, because it's a difficult piece to sing, because Bach keeps changing the texture for the singers. We'll go from four-part stuff to then often five-part thing with two sopranos. And then suddenly, in the Sanctus, which was from 1724, an older piece, he's writing for six-part choir with split sopranos and altos and then tenor bass. So suddenly now your group, which was balanced at four and possibly five parts, is now having to be divided even further away, and then you go flying into the Osana, which is now written for double choir, so now you're split in half with your group. So trying to keep the balance, but the orchestra is still there, so trying to keep the balance is a tricky thing, I think, from a singer standpoint.
So how big would a choir that Bach led, how big would that have been? Any speculations?
Who are you asking?
Right, there are books and books written on this, right? Yeah. People arguing everything from, you know, large-scale choirs, I mean, to down to one on a part, which is what Joshua Rifkin advocated in the 1980s, and recorded the B minor Mass one on a part. Mm. One singer per, you know, and it's a wonderful recording. And, you know, there's a chance.
It's so economical to produce, too.
Right. Those singers better be good. Yeah, it's like you know, there's a famous letter from Bach saying, I need three on a part. He's writing to the committee. He's saying, I need at least three singers on a part for weekly services. And that's counting with people being sick. I mean, imagine in Germany in the winter. Mm. I mean, you know, so nobody really knows what they did. And I think they changed a lot. I think for festal pieces, they would have used the bigger choirs. Sure. For a weekly in and out of service with the cantatas, maybe it was one, two on a part. And they were very practical.
The sopranos are boys. So, so you need more of those. And then he was constantly complaining. He did that a lot, actually, about the level of the skill level.
He did complain a lot of his
singers, and that, you know, he had all of these, you know, boys, but they couldn't read, and, you know, and you can't imagine that, having to do a different cantata.
And some of them can be unruly, too, I believe.
Yes.
There are letters about that, too.
Right. Yes, he did. He had the singers divided into three categories, you know, ones who could do anything, ones that could do some things, and others that were completely useless.
Right.
And he did. He had lists of them, too. You know, it's like, I mean, it was...
Well, they're instruments.
Yeah, right.
You know, a singer is an instrument,
yeah, too. Oh, indeed.
With very special abilities.
And this Kyrie that we're going to hear next, too, I think we were saying how vocal it is. It does lie very nicely in the voice. Other pieces in the Mass are quite instrumental in their style of singing, that is, are full of Italianate leaps in the voice that really aren't, you know, friendly to the
voice.
You know, and he's changing styles a lot. But this one is very, and this is very meditative. I mean, I think this is the belly of the beast for that kind of mysticism that Bach believed deeply in, the Kyrie. 2
from the Mass in B minor by Bach.
The second Kyrie from the Mass in B minor by Bach, and a performance actually coming up this weekend by the Madison Bach Musicians. It's May 10th, that's Saturday, and this will be at a different church, Trinity Lutheran Church in Madison. One thing about the performance last Friday was the staging and mm-hmm. the stepping of the choir. Is this going to make a difference in the way that you choreograph things?
Yeah, in a word. Yeah, because we have to, and we have very little time in the new venue. So it will be very different. We'll be now on two different levels. The choir will be on a different level from the orchestra, and then the soloists will be sort of farther out in front.
Right.
So it'll be a change.
It's and a smaller church, too.
And a smaller
church. It seats about 400 versus 1,200 at First Congo. And it'll be very live. It's a, you know, but it's a beautiful acoustic.
Yeah,
it's
it'll be
fabulous
fun
to sing it.
So we'll just see. We get a little chance in there on Saturday afternoon, and the choir will be all in one flat space. So that's going to be tricky for them, of just making sure the balance stays true and that they can hear.
So a little contrast, maybe hear a single voice.
That would be
perhaps,
nice. Yeah,
are you thinking of the Agnus Dei?
Could be that. Could be the Benedictus.
Benedictus, your choice.
You got, oh man.
So much to choose from.
Yeah.
Well, the Agnus Dei with the countertenor is one of the most unusual sounding things that we'll ever hear. Well, that'd be track 8. Yeah.
And but a stunning moment.
It's
beautiful.
And we were talking about before, it's when we were off air, about how it's the only piece in G minor in the entire Mass. Bach tends to go between B minor and D major with a few outlets into A major here and there. And then right before the end, when the Agnus Dei comes in, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, he goes to G minor. And it's kind of a sucker punch, and it's very arresting, this very dark, flat key that comes in. And then that, after this, it goes to Dona Nobis Pacem in D major, and you're let out the door kind of thing. So we'll hear Lon Ellenberger from Chicago singing the Agnus Dei from the B minor Mass.
Was Lon Ellenberger singing with the Madison Bach Musicians that glorious Agnus Dei from the Mass in B minor. And you say that Bach was, well, of course, we know he was an excellent recycler. He borrowed from himself all these lots of melodies in this Mass.
Mm-hmm. Right, from they're all borrowed from cantatas that he wrote in Leipzig prior to the writing of that first Missa Brevis in 1733. Mm-hmm. And so he starts to then borrow, as he's writing the rest of the piece, from himself. And it's not just about, oh, well, I couldn't come up with anything. It's about what he borrows from and how these things get transformed and how he knows what he's written and that he's already written something great.
Right.
And so and that it's not going to get any better than this. And he just pulls it in and makes it work in the Mass. So it's fascinating, actually.
Is this kind of a best of?
In a way. Yeah, I mean, he's at a point in his life where he's compiling other things, and he's trying to leave a legacy, I guess. And so this is
the best
part, right? part of his sort of legacy for that fits with his personal statement about his religious beliefs, I think.
And some of the pieces come from secular cantatas, like the Hosanna, bum 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 bee da da da, comes from a celebration for the newly elected king of Saxony, you know, the elector of Saxony, and it has completely secular German words in its first setting, and then Bach pulls that into the Mass with the Hosanna, you know, and unashamedly, he's like, whatever, it's all celebration.
It's not like he wrote anything that was totally inappropriate for that right. context.
Right, there's no low style.
Yeah, right.
Right,
yeah.
Right stuff. But yeah. Anyway, are we good?
Well, yes, I think rather than leave us in that, you know, brooding G minor, that we need right. to send everybody out with some hope of salvation
right.
here in a major key.
Right, and this is the Dona Nobis Pacem, grant us peace from the very end of the Mass. And it's interesting, this piece was from earlier in the Mass also.
Right, it's recycled within the Mass itself. It's also the Gratias.
In case you hadn't been listening 2 hours earlier.
Right, exactly.
We've heard this one way or the other.
Right.
Applause for the conclusion, the Dona Nobis Pacem, from the Mass in B minor by Johann Sebastian Bach. That was a performance from the First Congregational Church in Madison. This great Mass will be repeated Saturday night at Trinity Lutheran Church on Winnebago Street in Madison. And we've been talking a little bit about this monumental work with Trevor Stevenson, who is the artistic director, and with Bruce Gladstone, who is a conductor and one of the soloists.
Yeah.
Dual duty.
Well, I mean, and Trevor's at the harpsichord the whole time.
Yes.
Too.
Right. Yes, you're right. Both doing dual
yes,
duty.
Yes, everybody's multitasking.
You're right. You know, Bruce is singing in some pieces and then turning around and conducting the choir and the orchestra in another piece. I mean, you're all over the place.
Yeah, well.
So something to see as well as hear.
So thanks for a little glimpse into this wonderful work.
Sure. It's our pleasure.
Yeah,
it's
thanks
been
for
a wonderful year of preparation and getting it together. So thank you so much.